with us on a journey into the unknown, the unexplained, and the unbelievable. We will test your senses and challenge your beliefs. A world where science and religion clash. Or do they? You will meet real people and hear real stories, but you will not believe. You will witness strange sights and hear strange sounds, but you will not believe. This is the New England Ghost Project. Welcome to the nightmare.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Ghost Chronicles. I am Ron Kolick, your host, and you are not. With me, all the way from the beautiful state of New Hampshire, is the lovely Miss Medium Rare herself, Leslie Martin.
Hello, Ron. So excited to be here tonight.
Yeah, well, it almost wasn't because we've had nothing but problems. I did the morning show. I did the morning show this morning, and then I got to a halfway through the show with nothing but problems on it on StreamYard. And then I come to do this show, and I had just tested all the Skypes, and I couldn't log in to my Skypes on my regular computer and my laptop. Nothing was coming through. So it was just, I just did the last show on my cell phone. So there you go.
So I just tried to log in on Skype and I couldn't get in either. So I don't think it's just a you problem.
No. Paranormal.
Wait a minute.
Joining us now, as you can hear another voice, is the multi-talented Jim Stonier.
Hello.
You know, hello.
For years, I used to call you Jim Stoner.
I know.
That's okay. I was Leslie Marsden forever, too. So, or Matt.
Yeah, you were.
It's never
you,
right.
You were. And Tracy was Stacy, and I don't know. Stacy was Tracy. I don't know. Who knows? It's only me. But we had an interesting show on the international show. I had anthropologist Dr. Elizabeth Weiss on, and we were talking about how they determine sex in human skeletons, because I guess they no longer is acceptable to declare that a skeletal remains is either male or female.
Seriously.
So anyways, you want to check that out. It's on the international one. It was mentioned. We also looked at other things, including aliens and giants and the origins of man and Neanderthals and all that stuff. It was a really interesting show. With a highly intelligent person. And I'm not talking about me. We all know I'm highly intelligent.
Well, Jim will have to do the highly intelligent part of this show.
Yeah. So for those who don't know us, I am Ron Kolick, and you've been listening to me for 25 years. And with me is Leslie Martin, who is a medium. Also a member of New England Ghost Project, and she also works monthly with me on the Red Light Seance, study of the Red Light Seance. And also with us is Jim Stonier, who is we used to say EVP specialist, but I think you're much more than that now, Jim. And
general tech and skeptic.
Yeah. Well, yeah, we'll get into that in a little bit. But So he's been with us for quite a few years too. Jim is pretty much a Renaissance man. He makes wines, scuba dives, jumps out of planes. You know, there you go, the usual stuff. But he never played hockey, so I don't really consider him a man.
You have that on me. I can never escape.
But anyway, I have so many things I want to talk about, and we've been working together for so many years with so many different experiences. And Jim, in his self-introduction, said that he was a skeptic. And so why do you call yourself a skeptical or skeptic, Jim?
I don't always accept everything as it happens. I have to try to figure out if there's another reason for it.
Uh-huh.
you know, like an old house and the wind blows, it creaks, or like somebody Steve found with the infrasound that it was, you know, the chimney, if the wind blew the right way, it created infrasound in this pub in Wales and gave everybody an uneasy feeling. So, you know, I have a lot of fun getting the voices and stuff. And, and you know, now, I'll always use two recorders to make sure I'm not getting somebody talking.
Yeah. But we look at EVPs. Now, EVPs have really become, you know, so much proof of the paranormal. But the really down and gritty of it is we don't know where these noises on the recorders are coming from, our voices even. Leslie says she does. Right, Les?
I think that EVPs are the greatest thing since sliced bread because...
I see. I knew that.
I love EVPs because you're standing in a room and you're asking questions and something answers you. How can that not be proof of other intelligence being in the room with you?
Because Jim can tell you that. Because
could it be a radio station interfering, or could it be pareidolia? I think I said that right.
Yeah, pareidolia. I mean, that's the one thing that we all look at differently. I mean, Leslie is very much into pareidolia. I think she has pareidolia eyes and ears, but at times. I don't mean that in a bad way, Les.
I know.
But, you know, how many pictures have you posted of those clouds and stuff telling me it was, I don't know, God or the next coming of Genghis Khan?
I put it out there and I see what I see. And you are at liberty to believe what you want to believe. But I just present things and put them out there. And if you see what I see, that's great. But if you don't, that's great too. Whatever.
That's the thing I love about you is that you're real. You know, whatever you experience and everything, that's your point of view, and you put it out there, which is the way it should be. I remember working with Maureen when I first started, and she would come up with all kinds of crazy stuff, and I would be almost embarrassed for her. But a lot of it seemed, you know, to be true in a way. So she always told me, just whatever you do, you do. I mean, whatever you see, you see. And that's, I think, is the important part of paranormal, because paranormal experiences are just those experience of the witness of the person that's going through it versus, you know, really someone else, in my mind anyways.
And well, with you, like, if you're not experiencing it, then you don't believe it right off the bat because you didn't experience it. And that's fine, you know. But if I'm experiencing something and I want to share it, then I will share it. And if you want to believe it, then go for it. If you don't, then don't. But because what it boils down to in the paranormal is personal experience. And until you have that, you're going to be a skeptic.
Yeah. But Jim called himself a skeptic before the show, and I was really excited at the last red light seance because Jim sat in on the seance, and he was like a kid at Christmas, wasn't he?
He was.
Yeah, Leslie had to tell me to calm down a few times.
So I mean,
Jim. What I can say is, I try to find reason, but, you know, I have had experiences which I believe are paranormal. Like, take a case in point, the night you and I, Ron, were at the Portsmouth Lighthouse on a balcony. How tall is that then?
80 feet or something like that.
Yeah, so 80 feet up on the balcony, and the closest people were about 100 yards away. It was 1 a.m, and we got voices. We had answers to the questions on our recorder, on my recorder.
On your recorder.
And then on one of the ghost cruises, when we went back there, we got answers with the same voice. You know, so how do you explain that? But other times you get stuff where, you know, you hear a creak and everybody jumps and thinks that's a paranormal happening. Like, I'm still on the fence about orbs.
Yeah. But, you know, I agree with you in a lot of that. Unfortunately, with EVPs, I love EVPs myself, but, you know, are they really proof of the paranormal? And the answer is, I guess you do have to define what paranormal is. If paranormal is something that hasn't been able to be explained yet, which to me is what paranormal is. Paranormal is an unexplained event that science hasn't had an explanation for at that particular time. But it doesn't mean it won't be explained in the future. So we make our own conjunctions, and it's all these theories of what it is or what we believe in always comes through our own eyes. Like Leslie will see it definitely one way, and you know, Jim might see it a different way. So it's intriguing stuff, and like I said, the experience, it's the personal experience that really makes the paranormal. And important.
Which is what you always say, you know, whenever we do an event, is you tell the people that the best paranormal detector is you. You, but, you know, yourself. And,
right.
You know, I had an experience, investigation we did somewhere in New Hampshire, to be unnamed. We were walking down the path, and it was one of the first times, I forgot the name of it, the governor's mansion. Right?
Okay. That's a good point. I was just curious that we were protecting somebody or something. I wasn't sure.
I don't know what you want to get it let out there or not. But anyway, remember we were walking down the path at the end of the night. And usually I don't feel a darn thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I actually felt this very strong uneasiness. And it was weird. I backed up. I didn't feel it. I walked forward. I felt it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I know what you're talking about. That's the one that we did recently.
Right.
Yeah, the governor's mansion to you.
So much for being unnamed.
Wow. And I thought my memory was bad.
Remember there were all these trails in the back, Leslie? With lights.
Yeah, I do remember, yeah.
By Stonehenge.
Yes, it was an interesting energy back there. And you could definitely feel it when you entered it and when you exited it. It was very intense at some point.
Mm-hmm. See, that,
but now
that's
you gotta ask yourself, was that some kind of local electromagnetic phenomena going on there that we didn't know about? Did we go back during the day and look, see if there were power lines or something around there that could have been affecting us? I think we did look for power lines, we asked him.
Mm-hmm. But
anyway.
Yep. The other thing is that's one of the things that intrigued me the most, which is why I love psychometry the most, which is, for those who don't know, it's holding an object and reading an object to get whatever impressions that come off it. And we can get these different impressions off an object, but we don't know scientifically why people can do this. And you know, I mean, quite frankly, there are, if some people hold an object, they come up with a different thoughts of what, you know, what they're getting versus somebody else's what they're getting, but which I always say is neither right or wrong. It's just what you're getting. It goes back to the paranormal experience thing. But maybe there'll be something in the future where we are able to understand scientifically how certain impressions, psychic impressions or conscious impressions can be embedded in different materials. So that to me is intriguing. Which
I just had an experience that I explained to you at the Red Light Science, where I work in an elementary school, and I had an OT teacher bring some kids into my room. And she asked me to put on some hip hop. And I was like, I'm not going to play hip hop. There's all sorts of obscenities in hip hop. So I picked a nice song that they would enjoy. And it reminded me of a friend of mine who's very dear to my heart. And she used to work in our school. And so I played this song, and the teacher was dancing along with the kids. And the teacher left all sorts of black marks, scuff marks on my floor. And she's like, oh, no, I'm so sorry. I left scuff marks on you. I'm like, no worries, no worries. The janitor will be in here. And he comes in here every day. He'll pick them up. And so we have this lovely Down syndrome man who is one of our janitors. And he came in and he's picking up the scuff marks. And he said, oh, do you remember this woman that used to work here? The woman that I was, that the song reminded me of. So was he picking up on the energy that I left in the room about how I was reminiscing about this woman, or how the woman who was dancing and I were talking about this woman who used to work at our school? So it was very interesting. So energy reading can be, you know, not just in things, but in places as well. And I find that intriguing as well.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we all know that if you go to certain places, there are certain places you just don't like, or you don't want to go to, or even an investigation. There are times when, say, okay, you go upstairs and say, I don't want to go upstairs. Why? I don't know. I just don't feel whatever. It's just you have that gut feeling or whatever it is. There's certain vibrations that are, and that you go to other places, like, they create these labyrinths and everything else, and people go in there and they become very calm and peaceful because that's what's vibrating from some of these places. So, I think, there is some type of energy that is there, but it is yet defined as what it really is.
One thing that really intrigued me was when you had gone to the Governor's Mansion before I had gone to the Governor's Mansion, and you were excited to get inside the house. And I was on a path. I had to get to the bottom of the stairs and look at the top of the stairs. And that was the exact same experience that you had when you went into that space, that you had to get to the bottom of the stairs and look at the top of the stairs.
Yes.
So so it's there for everyone. It's, it's not just for one person. It's for everyone to read. And I love stuff like that.
Yeah, I do too. I think it's intriguing more than a lot of other things. Especially certain EVPs are so gobbled and everything, you can pretty much make anything you want out of them. To me, that experience is a higher level than a EVP that you have to kind of like guess what the hell it's saying.
Yeah, well, my philosophy on EVPs, I'm glad you brought that up, is I think if the spirits want to come through to you, they'll come through. That I don't agree with the school of thought that says you can process it six ways on Sunday, throw it through filters, run it backwards, forwards, and mix it with guitar string sounds and stuff like that, and you're really getting anything, because you're going to get to a point where you're putting something in there that wasn't there in the original recording.
Mm-hmm.
So I just like doing the original.
It's the same thing can be done with photographs. You enlarge them, you darken them, you lighten them, and you get all kinds of, I mean, especially in digital photographs, because digital photographs are not really a copy of an image, but only what's a facsimile of the image that was there. It's all little dots and shadows and well, basically dots. It's all little dots that are different shades and everything, which gives you the image. Which is why photographs are far more effective proof than digital cameras are, especially in today's society.
Right. It's much harder to manipulate a photographic negative. It can be done, but it's hard.
Oh yeah, it can be done. It's still, we can, even in photographs, because I taught a workshop on photo psychometry, Leslie effect. You did it with me, didn't you?
When was that? Photo psychometry. Was that one of those Zoom things that we did?
Yeah, one of the Zoom classes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yes,
it was an excellent class. And the group that, this is really interesting because it was done on Zoom. They were not in the same room as us. So we're all doing this remotely. and they actually were able to work together in a lot of instances and able to give a accurate description of the person or place that was in the photograph. Do you remember that, Liz?
I do remember that, and it was quite astounding. And they came up with very specific things about the people in the photographs as well, mm-hmm. that they could yeah. have never have known, and not by just looking at it either. Why, like how the people in the photographs were not family members, and the people were strangers, but they were friendly strangers, and that they helped people, and all sorts of little teeny little itty bitty tidbits of information that created a whole picture of exactly what was going on in that circumstance, and how it was like a once in a lifetime cruise. And, but you could yeah. never tell that. You could never tell that by just looking at the photo.
No, you had a blank photograph of well, not a blank, but you had a photograph of, and in some cases were several people in the photograph, and they were able to hone in on one particular one and able to give it accurate description of what was going on.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to take a break. We'll be right back.
Do you have a paranormal event, book, or something else you want people to know about? Then why not advertise it on Ghost Chronicles Radio? With over 150,000 downloads a month, get your message out to an audience that's interested in the subject. We have a plan at a cost that fits your needs. For more information, contact Ron Kolick at anyghostproject@comcast.net or call 978-455-6678.
Located in Illinois, there lies a sleepy little town where nothing is a common occurrence.
You going to that party in town tonight?
Heck yeah! I only turned 18 once.
That is until the night of celebration.
Where the hell is she? Oh, no. No, 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 Jessica! What's happening?
From the creators of Shadowhunters, Bite Me, comes a tale of primal terror and grindcore mayhem. Shadowhunters, kill Jessica, kill!
Can you hear me? My name is Harry Price. I am speaking to you via the medium of the Ghost Box. Many of you will know I carried out the first live radio broadcast from Haunted House way back in 1936 for the BBC. Now, thanks to the wonders of modern technology, I am still able to keep abreast of 21st century ghost hunting by listening to Ghost Chronicles International on Togginet, Para-X Radio, The Ghost Channel, and even on something called a podcast. Two splendid chaps host it. One is an American who calls himself New England's own Van Helsing, although I have discovered his real name is Ron Kolek. The other is Stephen Parsons, and he's a paranormal scientist. Well, mustache, I'm required elsewhere on something called a K2. But don't forget, I'll be listening in every Tuesday from 8 o'clock in Great Britain and 3 o'clock on the American Eastern Seaboard. I trust you will join me there.
And we are back. You are listening to Ghost Chronicles right here on TojiNet Radio. And we're brought to you by Circles of Wisdom, 286 Merrimack Street, Methuen, Massachusetts, the Glant Messier Family Law Group, 15 High Street, North Andover, Massachusetts, and our very good friends on Ghost Chronicle Radio on Patreon. So there I am. I'm laying on the couch doing this show because the red light seance killed me. Red light seance killed me. I knew it was going to happen, but it's gone. So, you know, my back has been injured for over a year and a half now, so I continue to do more damage. Anyway, so that's a good thing. At least I'm comfortable. But anyway, you're joining me today, of course, is Leslie Martin and Jim Stonier. Now, we were talking about, you know, evidence and the proof of paranormal. So let me ask you guys, what is proof of the paranormal? And I guess we have to define what paranormal is. I mean, what do we define as paranormal? And I'll ask you first, Leslie. I mean, what is paranormal to you?
Well, if you're a paraeducator, you work alongside educators. If you're a paralegal, you work alongside legal people. So paranormal to me is outside of the normal limits of our everyday life. Anything that happens that can't be seen, touched, smelt, or felt by, you know, the average Joe. That's how I think of the paranormal. What do I think is proof of the paranormal? That's hard to ask me because, you know, some people don't trust mediums, and I happen to be a psychic medium. So proof of the paranormal to me, that's why I like EVP so much, because I know they're there. I know they're talking to me. I can see them in my, you know, third eye. But that's them putting their imprint on something that other people can see and other people can feel. And that's why I like physical mediumship, because other people can experience it and not just trust what I'm saying. So I think that's proof of the paranormal are things that other people can experience, see, touch, taste, smell, and make them believers.
Okay. Jim, what is your definition of paranormal, and what is proof of the paranormal?
What she said. No, I have a definition, and you know, as far as proof, when you guys are talking about the photographs, there are no absolutes, but a real great proof would be you take a random photograph and give it to somebody and they do the psychometry on it. And then you're able to independently verify what they said is true by talking to the people in the photographs.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead.
I've taken photographs that have been astonishing. I mean, I'm not going to lie. I'm very lucky with some of the images that I've caught. But we were at the Howard Street Cemetery doing thing called? That Salem
spectral evidence, part of the Festival of Dead for 13 years. Yeah.
Yeah. So we were at the Howard Street Cemetery, and Ron had this thing that I thought that was the hokiest thing ever. He said, "I've got some, you know, cemetery."
I beg your pardon.
Hold on.
There's a woman that speaks to the dead.
But it just seems so like magicianish, you know? And I have flash powder and I have holy water and I have this handkerchief with blood on it. And I have a spell from one of the high witches of Salem. And I want you, it's a spell to create spirits to present themselves in photographs. So I want everyone to take photographs as I'm saying the spell. So he's saying the spell. I'm thinking, oh my goodness. He's going along and I'm taking pictures, and I bring my camera home and I upload it to my computer, and I had the clearest face in this photograph, so clear, so that I sent it away to Dartmouth University to have them, you know, analyze it. And their findings, the man who got back to me, the doctor that got back to me, said he can't say that it's a spirit, but he can say that it's background noise that looks like a face. But that made so much sense to me because, like in EVPs, they use background noise to create the words and the sounds that they put on to the recordings. So, so the photographs are fabulous if you can catch one, right?
But how many times have you... Go ahead, Steve. Go ahead, Jim.
Oh, Jim. Yeah, I was going to actually bring that up, but I'm glad you did. That was a great photograph. It was a scary face, too.
Yeah, if you say so. Do you see so many photographs on Facebook? And you see them on there, and they've got it, and they say this is this. And not only that, they'll circle it or put arrows on the damn thing. And people still won't see that in there. And so what's your thoughts on that? I mean, is he wrong? Is the person who put that photograph wrong? Or is it proof? I guess there's two different questions here.
Well, I am a skeptic of what anybody puts up because things can be
except
fake so easily nowadays, right?
Except your stuff.
Except mine.
because
I am honest and I have integrity, but I can't say that the Joe Schmo that puts that up on Facebook has that same, you know, level of integrity or honesty. So I always doubt. I look at him and say, "Oh, that's pretty cool," but I don't always believe what I see.
Yeah, I mean, Jim, what are your thoughts? I mean, do you think that that's proof that? If that person believes that's whatever he's showing, is that proof that it's paranormal? It's proof, or just discard the whole thing?
It's their interpretation. One thing protocol I used to use with EVPs when I was doing it, first starting out with other people, I would send them a recording. I did this with you, I think, Ron, and not tell them what I interpreted. And
right.
If they interpret the same thing in the recording, that gives a little more credence to the recording. You know,
yeah.
Because there was no predisposition to hear what I told them they were hearing.
Yeah. I mean, I remember
that thing, too. If you would post, if somebody were to post a picture, a photograph, and not say anything about it, say, what do you see in it? And maybe have a close discussion, with some kind, a close comment section where people can reply what they see, and then the person, the moderator, can go through it and see if they agree.
The only problem is the first person that posts whatever on it, then that's, we've automatically got that impression in our minds. That's what we're looking for. So
that's why I said a closed one.
What
I meant by that is the people who post can't see what other people had posted.
Oh, okay. Yeah, fair enough. That's good. That makes, that's cool.
Right. And then, have a protocol where somebody goes through that, maybe the original person or, go back to the three-cell experiment the AAEVP did. One person would ask questions, do a recording, send a recording to somebody else, and not tell the other person what questions were even asked.
Mm-hmm.
Just maybe timestamps of when the questions were asked and then see what happens.
All right. I like that. Yeah, I know that's the problem, though, is that we don't know the integrity of the photographs as well, unfortunately, now, especially with digital business software and all of it. It's difficult for us to come up with something like that.
And now with AI, who knows?
Oh, AI. Yeah, just shoot me. Look at poor Kate and all the trouble she's in.
Yeah. Well, at least with the Kate stuff, it was bad photoshopping, and there are algorithms that can be used to, they actually compare the pixels of the picture to other pixels and adjacent ones. And it's a formula for how much one pixel can vary to one next to it. And they can actually pick out where the modifications are. But now with AI, if the AI processor knows, well, they're going to be looking for this, so I'm going to make sure they don't see it.
Yeah, but you have two types of people that are viewing it. One that will look at it and see it fits perfectly as it is, than the other one who will create some kind of conspiracy theory of why it's that way. And you'll have people who believe in conspiracies will jump on that and be with that too. So, I mean, we are humans. We see everything through our own psyche, and that's how we judge everything, unfortunately. But it is.
You know,
I remember posting the photograph at Fort Tabor when I went with Ann, and I posted on the website all my photographs, and one of the photographs was that of a human shape, all in white, and everybody started jumping on that. It was all ghosts. Now I went on that, and I told them, no, that's, first of all, Ann took the picture with my camera because I was going to go down the thing. I said, here, take a picture when I go down it. And the second of it was the ghost in the photograph was me, because I was so close to the lens that I just lit up white, but you could see like all my outline of the coat and everything else on it. Even though I'm the one that was in the picture and knew the origins of the picture, people still didn't believe me and believed it was a ghost. So it's strange how everything, like I said, everything goes to other people's minds, and they're going to believe what they want to believe, or not believe what they want to.
There was a South Park episode. I won't say the name because it's not a nice name. It was about the mediums. And, you know, the people were all fawning over this medium. And one of the kids goes, he has a crowd of people, goes, okay, there's somebody in here that lost their grandmother. And then goes through it. It was like doing a cold reading. And at the end, he explains, okay, given the demographics of this group, one of you has a grandmother that died. And her name was probably Mary, because that's a common name in this area of the world, and just went on. And even after he went through all those steps, they still believed.
Yeah. I mean, which Jeff Belanger did Spirit Quest with us, and he brought the camera there that Clay sent you. What's it called, Jim?
Oh, the
RX or something like that.
Yeah, the Microsoft one.
The
thing is perfectly trying to make shape, make figures, find something.
Yeah, he brought that. It was one that the guy used from the Ghost Adventures used. And it was the exact one, actually. Jeff had it, and we used it in one of the things. Now, Steve explained it to the group, but when the group came back and they were talking to me, he said, yeah, Steve explained it, but I swear, I could tell that was really a ghost. It's like, okay. Go ahead.
A random thought popped in my head a few minutes ago. You know, technology, not to be cliche, is a double-edged sword for paranormal investigation. It might allow us to do more, gather more evidence, but it's also allowing evidence to be more easily fabricated.
Mm-hmm.
So you never really know what you're looking for. You know, unless you're the one doing it, like Leslie with her camera or me with my recorders, you always have to take everything else with a grain of salt. Unless you know the conditions where it was done.
Oh yeah, and the other thing is that even though for instance, the red light seance, Les, you and I have been doing that for 13 years, maybe, I don't know, 13, 14, 12, I don't know, whatever it is, right? A long time.
Yeah, at least 12, yeah.
And you ask me if I'm a psychic, what am I going to tell you?
No, I'm not a psychic, I'm a dumb psychic. That's what you're going to say.
That's my little tagline, but whatever. For me to understand what goes on in the red light seance, I wanted to participate in it as a like a field anthropologist almost, where I would experience what other people experience, and the feelings are so interesting and the results are so interesting, and it brings thoughts in your mind that what we're doing. I mean, even Jim sat down last time, and like I said, he was a kid at Christmas time because he. Do you remember that, Jim? How excited you were?
I know where I was sitting and everything, and a few times, I kept asking these questions. But one of the more impressive red light seances I was at, Leslie remembers this, and you do, where we think my mother came through. Remember that, Leslie?
Oh, that was a long time ago.
Oh, my God, that is, yeah.
You got a lot of things correct, and if you remember, you didn't find out to the end that it was referring to me. Because I kept the cold stone. Scientific about it, I said, I'm not going to do anything to lead Leslie on. Let's see where this goes. And it seemed to go the right way. So that I still remember that.
Yeah. I mean, why you consider that was one of the greatest, Jim, is because it also was a very personal experience for you. It was your mother. It was, you know, that was important. So that really stands out in your mind. And I think a lot of people who go to these seances want loved ones to come through. But the particular seances that we run are really not designed for that. They're more designed to work with spirit, to try to understand spirit and what they do. We're not looking to speak to a specific person in reality. And so we're basically fishing, I guess is a good word, fishing for information. And the information that comes through Leslie and through the table and some of the other participants who are in the circle, as well as myself, come up with a picture of certain things, sort of like the photographs of psychometry photograph readings. We take these pieces and put it together, and we get a lot of times very accurate picture of people that have lived and a little bit about their lives. Don't you think so, Les?
Well, that's what I strive to do as a medium, is to paint spirit alive as they were when they were living. So the little pieces of information that doesn't mean a lot to somebody, like the etching in their wedding ring, or the way their body, like, hangs, you know, like she slumps forward and she has this little lump on the back of her neck. Little details that paint the whole picture. We do that, not just I, but everyone at the table. We get that information, and it creates this whole scene of where this person came from, or what they did for a living, and what they did when they were dying, and what period of time that they were alive. And we can find them on the internet, which I love the internet for. Thank you very much. And it brings validation to what we do as a group, but also as our mission, you know, to prove that these souls are here and can communicate with us.
Well, that's not exactly why I do it. I don't do it to prove.
Well, you do it for the physical mediumship part, but I do it
for the understanding of the circle in itself, seances, mediums, how they work, and so forth. I mean, you and I sit in circle a lot of times, and if we have loved ones that come through, we don't like that. We try to push it away because we don't want to try to make it of a personal nature. So to me, I look at the paranormal that way. I don't want to jump in believing the paranormal. I want to look at it strictly as an observer rather than as a participant. Even though I'm a participant of it, I am also an observer. And this is what I really do. I mean, through my life doing the investigating, which is, I don't know how many years now, but, I believe, and this is just my belief, that I have seen three full body apparitions. And I've had so many other strange paranormal experiences occur to me that, you know, things that certainly I can't explain. But yet, whenever I look back at it on a whole, I never look back on it like, oh, that was so cool. It's like, I mean, it's cool, but it's not like, oh, that's proof of this or that's proof of that. It's more of relaying the experience as an observer rather than as the participant, if that makes any sense at all. That was a long
time. You're very objective in your viewing. But I have a question for you, because you're always asking the questions. How do you feel, having been an observer of the paranormal for over 25 years. What are your views? How do you feel about what you've seen? Do you agree that there are things that you have seen that lean toward proof of the afterlife?
See, that's the part that I don't think you can understand, and I don't mean that in any bad way, is that when I first started this, I wanted to either prove or disprove the paranormal, but I soon realized that, in my beliefs, that the paranormal was more of a personal experience, that we would never really prove or disprove it. So it was always my goal after that was to participate, observe, and share the knowledge. So that's all I do going into it. I really don't look at it. Like people say to me, well, what's the scariest moment to this? And it's like, I really don't have any, because it's like that brain surgery. You know, I cut people open and blood squirting everywhere, but it doesn't affect me because that's my job. I'm just an observer and a participant, but I'm not connected to the event in itself in reality. So that's the way I look at it. And I know it's hard to understand and believe at times, but it's really such a cold thing for me. I guess it's the way to say it. It's very cold.
Could I ask the same of Jim? Could I ask Jim the same question?
Of course you can. Yeah, of course you can.
So Jim, your experiences over the past years, do you feel that you have seen proof of a world other than ours?
I think I have.
Okay.
Like the cat in Gettysburg. I swear there was a cat there.
I'm sure then, there was.
And then later that night we found out from Mark Nesmith that, a lot of people report seeing cats in the house that we were staying. So, you know, the EVPs that I have taken, you know, I still try to be skeptical, but some things I just can't disprove 100%. Like, I know I saw that cat. I know the EVPs I got a few times and answers.
Go ahead.
One lesson I learned is, even though they're spirits, they're not always going to tell you the truth.
That's for sure.
Agreed.
One time, remember, Ron, we were at VZ doing it was for one of your classes.
Mm-hmm.
At VZ, we were in the kitchen downstairs, and I said, people have reported seeing spirits down here. Is there anyone here? And we heard a voice, clear voice, and EVP said, nope.
Nope, nothing to see here.
Move it along, folks.
See, Jim, now that's an interesting point that you brought up, because now, to me, you consider it as a spirit lying. But I look at it another way, too. Was it someone in the group who, in their own mind, said no? And that was just picked up by the recorder. In other words, someone in the group generated and thought the word no. And we know, we know from the red light seance, Leslie, that we'll be in communication with the spirit through table tipping. We're talking about a large table here, by the way, children, not a small one. It'll be moving, and then it'll answer a question that nobody said. And Leslie, many times, will say, was somebody thinking of a question? Haven't you?
Absolutely, yeah. Because, you know, spirit can... I communicate with spirit through thought, and they can communicate through thought. It's an energetic thing, and they can read thought. And so if someone at the table is like formulating a question in their mind, they're answering it before it even gets out of our mouths.
So
look at it.
Go ahead, Jim.
To your level, Ron, you're suggesting that someone's thought imprinted on the recorder. Remember, I had two recorders going, so I didn't hear anyone say no. Or no, or whatever it was.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that wouldn't necessarily mean anything. I mean, we one of the accusations of mediums is that they're able to read people's minds. So if that is a possibility, and it's not, it's more just as much
logical thing is believing you talk to dead people, then it's very feasible either way. So it is possible, but we have no proof either way or the other. So look at it this way, Leslie. When we do the red light seance, and that table is moving and it's answering questions, right? And we're formulating something. How do you know that a person in the group or the group in general is not making that happen, but getting information from another level? Whether, you know, we talked about how energy is like present in places, photographs, and so forth. You know, we could be tapping into a general Akashic records or greater consciousness and able to transfer thought to table. Oh, we got to go. Anyways, thanks a lot, everyone. You all have a good night. God bless, and I talk too much.
From ghoulies to ghosties, long-leggedy beasties, and things that go bump in the night. Deliver us, good Lord.